Oh, I could sing all morning. And maybe keep doing that after you leave today. Just continue to worship and praise God wherever He leads you today. We're going to look to God's Word this morning. So if you have your Bibles open, turn to Psalm 3. Psalm 3. We're going to hear from the Word of the Lord. It's going to be on the screen behind me if you'd like to follow along. First of all, I guess you can hear me okay in the back. James, you're all good? Super, wonderful. Psalm 3. We are going to hear from the Word of God. And how important is it that we have God's Word in front of us? We're reading it. Jesus said in the wilderness after being tempted by Satan in Matthew 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's why the Word of God is so important. And how does our faith grow? As Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, by hearing the Word of God. So then, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. That's why we open God's Word and preach it every Sunday. And that's why you should be opening your Bibles every day as well and reading it and studying it. Psalm 3, let us hear the Word of the Lord. A Psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, three times in this verse, this chapter, is the word Selah mentioned, and it means to pause. So I was kind of pausing a little bit before reading the next verse. And that's such an important thing to do in worship, and when we hear the Word of God, is we pause to really take in what God is saying to us. It's an important part of the Psalms when you see it. It means to just stop and just reflect on what you just read. And so it's important to notice that. Now, before I keep going, maybe you can turn me down a little bit. Again, I'm always a little bit extra louder as it is, but thanks. I wanted to start with a story about a Christian woman who was always bright, always cheerful, and optimistic, even though she was confined to her small room because of illness. She lived in an attic apartment on the fifth floor of an old run-down building. Now, the story goes that a friend decided to visit her one day and brought along another woman, a person of great wealth. Since there was no elevator, the two ladies began the long climb upward to visit their friend. Now, when they reached the second floor, the well-to-do woman commented, "What a dark and filthy place." Her friend replied, "It's better higher up." When they arrived at the third landing, the remark was made again, "Things look even worse here. What a dark and filthy place." And again, the reply was, "It's better higher up." The two women finally reached the attic level where they found the bedridden saint of God. A smile on her face radiated the joy that filled her heart. And although the room was tiny, it was clean, and there were flowers on the windowsill, but the wealthy visitor could not get over the stark surroundings in which this woman with her illness lived. And she blurted out, "Boy, it must be very difficult for you to be up here like this." And without a moment's hesitation, that shut-in, elderly, sick woman responded, "It's better higher up." Now, in this story, you know, this dear saint was not looking at the temporal things around her to satisfy her. Her focus was not fixed on her material surroundings or her circumstances. With the eye of faith fixed on the eternal, she had found the secret of true contentment, of true satisfaction. You see, Jesus was all the world to her. And despite her situation, she was able to have joy and she was able to have peace. You know, how frequently our eyes can be taken off of the Lord and focused on our mounting problems, our mounting challenges without God. How often our trust in the Lord falters and we allow our hearts to fail within us instead of looking up to Jesus, our strength, and relying upon him to provide all that we need. Now, the last 12 months, that's right, 12 months, it has not been easy. So many challenges that we have never had to face before because of this public health crisis. We have had to learn how to live through the week without our normal routines and activities. And the journey ahead of us is still a long one, but I have no doubt that we will overcome and that we will endure because of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life this very second. It is true that God allows trials in our lives. Just look at the world around us and all that's going on. God allows trials in our lives so that we will grow spiritually. Or maybe if I could say grow up spiritually. Our struggles keep us depending on him. Our struggles keep us walking by faith, not by sight. But our trials also keep us leaning into each other for love and support. First of all, make sure that you're leaning on God. But our struggles, our hardships also keep us leaning into each other for love and support. That which we must never fail as the body of Christ and as Christians in our community. Even in the Bible, we come across many people who experienced great hardship and were tempted to give up. Things happen that challenge their faith. Just let me list a few examples. Moses, he struggled to believe that he could deliver his people from Egypt after murdering an Egyptian and being rejected by his Hebrew brothers. Elijah, he wanted to give up when he was being chased by Jezebel, who made it her goal to destroy his life. And so he wrestled with his faith. And then there was Sarah, who wrestled in her faith as well after so many years of being barren. Jonah wrestled with his faith because he knew God was going to be compassionate and gracious to those he felt didn't deserve it. And in the New Testament, Paul, he was stoned and left for dead outside of a town, yet God healed him. He got back up and he went back into that same town proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I could go on, but you get where I'm going with this. They all had challenges in their faith. They had trials. They all, however, overcame their obstacles despite their desperate circumstances and challenges, and they did so by the grace of God, his sustaining grace, his power in their lives. And this is where we find David in Psalm 3, a powerful message of when David's life had been turned upside down. And let us look to him again. Please have your Bibles open to Psalm 3. Psalm 3. And we learn the occasion of this psalm just underneath where it has that title, where it says, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. And so that's the occasion in which David writes this psalm, Psalm 3. And in 2 Samuel 15 is where you discover and read through the story of all the details of how it came to this. So if you need to later on this afternoon, read 2 Samuel 15, where you learn of Absalom's attempt to take the kingdom away from King David. And so Absalom, he became very bitter towards his father over how David had treated him. And then he had rebelled against David and decided that he was going to overthrow King David from his reign in Jerusalem. And so he gathers an army together of loyal supporters, and he marches against Jerusalem, seeking to take the throne of David. So this is the background of Psalm 3. So helpless to defend the city, David was forced to flee with his own faithful army and those that were loyal to him. And even then, David was unsure who would stand with him or who would fight him. And so he's afraid of what Absalom will do, and in wanting to keep his family safe, he flees. He hides in the wilderness. So just kind of imagine with me what David must have been going through. His own son, family, trying to destroy his life. And he expresses his anguish and fear in Psalm chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. And as we read through that, if you have your Bibles with you, look at the different emotions that David reveals. What does it show about his state of mind? I'll read it for you. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. What is David revealing to us? He's afraid. He's overwhelmed. He's confused. He's outnumbered. He's worried. It's not a good place for David. His world has been turned upside down. And like David, it is easy to lose heart sometimes, especially when we are facing hardship, trials, tragic news, setbacks to our health. Like David, it is easy to lose heart when we are going through broken relationships, having the ongoing challenges of the society that we live in today. We can lose heart as Christians just looking at our culture and all that is going on around us. We can be overcome by the ungodliness and the immorality, the sinfulness that is so predominant all around us. But as David agonized over his situation, that last part where it says, many are saying of me, God will not deliver him, David is also struggling because those around him are beginning to lose hope and beginning to hear the rumblings of people around him saying, there is no help for him in God. There is no help. So I imagine this would have caused David to feel even more alone in his struggles. But was that true? Had David reached the point in his life where even God had turned his back upon him? Absolutely not. He could not believe that was so, and so he cries out to God. He cries out to God. And listen to as David moves. Listen, as David moves his eyes from his enemies and from his circumstances toward Almighty God in verses 3 to 6. Verse 3, but you are a shield around me, he says of the Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. And so as you hear those words again, and as David thought about the greatness of God and the promises of God, David was comforted, and a blanket of peace came over him. I love verse 5, where it says, you know, he lay down and he slept, for the Lord sustained him. Even if 10,000 enemy soldiers were raised to arms against him, David would trust in the Lord his God for provision, for his protection. For David knew that prayer and trust would sustain him, as I know that prayer and trust will sustain you for whatever you're going through today. And then in verse 8, David ends with this great declaration from God where he says basically that salvation alone is from you. David knew in his heart that salvation, deliverance, belongs to the Lord alone, and that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. You know, at the end of verse 7, it is kind of graphic when you think about it. Strike all the enemies on the jaw, break their teeth of the wicked. And he says that because if the enemy has broken teeth, they can't latch on and cause pain. God deals with that. He won't have to worry about the enemy taking him down. And so what a declaration of faith from David as he gets to the end of this psalm. What a great source of encouragement for us today as we think about our own faith. So let me ask you, how is your faith today? Do you have the same bold confidence of David? You know, when we are struck on every side, do we give up in despair or do we confidently trust our God who will never fail us? I love in our worship this morning the theme of how we worship and we serve an awesome God who we can celebrate, who has saved us, who is arising in our hearts today as we look to him through his word and through worship and prayer. We serve and worship an awesome God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. And even though there has been a lot of changes around us, you know what hasn't changed? The power of the gospel message. That hasn't changed. The power of God's word, the power of prayer. That hasn't changed. The power of God's love and the powerful impact of the church coming together in the power of the Holy Spirit to help and encourage our community. That's what keeps my heart on fire for Jesus. I don't know about you, but even though there's a lot of changes going around us, all those things that I just listed, they don't change. So in this season of waiting, in this season of enduring and persevering, let us keep seeking the Lord. and trusting in him, for he alone is our source of power. You know, our struggle each day, as Paul said in Ephesians 6, is not against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places, not against flesh and blood, but with the powers of the air. And I want to pause just to speak into that, because we cannot become effective followers of Jesus until we understand that we have an enemy, a spiritual enemy who works tirelessly to turn us away from following Jesus and back to our sinful nature. And so there is no doubt in my mind that the devil wants to use even this pandemic to keep Christians living in fear. And the devil rejoices when Christians walk away from God, walk away from their faith, from church, when they walk away from God's word and prayer. And in fact, instead of abandoning our faith when our circumstances become difficult, the opposite should be true. We are to be drawing even closer to the Lord through worship and prayer, through supporting one another as the body of Christ. Why? It's better higher up. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. What a great truth from Scripture that we know, that the Holy Spirit is in you, in me, to help us face every trial and every test without experiencing distress, but to remain focused on overwhelming victory. So, because of God's power, we have victory over sinful habits. Because of God's power, we have victory over past hurts. You do not no longer need to live in that. Praise God, he has set you free. And being more than a conqueror, as Romans tells us in Paul's letter, it means that whatever the enemy intended to use to take you out, whatever was meant to destroy you, did not in fact destroy you. It's now being used for God's glory as he grows you up closer to him. So I believe that God is using our circumstances even today, even this pandemic, to get our attention, as it's a time for believers to get right with God. It's a time to go deeper in our faith, but also perhaps to repent of our sinful ways and turn to him. It's a time of refreshing as we look back to God's word and walk with him like we've never walked before. I wonder if in this last 12 months you could say that about your life, that you've walked closer to God these past 12 months than before. And if you can't, I encourage you to start. I believe God is at work in a powerful way in your life. It has been a time to reflect on what truly matters. There's no doubt about that. Where we're at spiritually. It's not a time for the church to retreat, that's for sure, right? It's a time to advance. Because God still wants to use us to usher into his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I love the message of that verse. There's many of them, but one that really stands out is that you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And God has called believers to walk in the good works of faith. God longs to use you because he loves you. When was the last time you heard that? Or reminded of that. That God not only wants you to know him, he wants to use you because he loves you. So what in your heart today needs to come into alignment with that truth? That you were made for good works of eternal value. So let's focus on others. Have that outward focus and serve one another. I love Pastor Lionel's challenge from a few weeks ago where we are to pray. Pray for that one unbelieving person in your life to come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior this year. Who is that in your life? And have you been praying for them this past week? Now remember, this challenge is not just for one person. It could be for more. It could be for everyone in your class or your cohort. It could be for that team that you work with, or it could be for everyone in your street. The contractor working in your home right now, or that familiar FedEx face that comes to your door every now and then. Are you praying for that lost soul? Pray that God will also open doors for you and your family to show the love of God and share the gospel message as you become aware of the needs, the very tangible and practical needs of people in our community. There are many unbelievers around us every day that have not only never accepted Jesus as their Lord, but they have a need that I believe we can meet as a church family. So, perhaps you need to pick up your phone and call someone to check in on them. Write an encouragement card. Whatever that is, God has given the church and believers an opportunity to reach this lost. I love how God has also given us a holy vaccine to the sickness of sin in our world today, and that is the gospel message. The good news that Jesus gives to us. Hope, love, joy, peace. But I challenge you today also to ask God how he wants to use you today. Will you do that? Ask him for a specific way that you can reveal his heart to others. And take time to rest in his presence, that you would find courage and faith to make a difference in someone's life. Some examples, again, could be texting or emailing someone a message with your favorite Bible verse. Going for a walk with someone and in that walk taking the opportunity to tell them what God is doing in your life and why you as a believer have joy and have peace and have hope in such a time where I'm sure most of you know that a lot of people don't have that. It's a very difficult time for those because in this world there is a hope that is not the same as the hope of Jesus. Let me take you back to Psalm 3. David's hope did not rest upon himself or even the strength of his own army or even his family that was close to him in that time of hiding. His hope, his strength rested upon God alone. And he was confident because he knew God. He had that foundation. How important it is that we have that foundation, the faith of God and his word underneath us. And that is the lesson for us this day. Where do we place our faith and hope? Well, let us, like David in Psalm 3, turn to God, our help in ages past, and our hope for years to come. So whatever you are going to face, whatever you're facing today or this week, you know, God will give you what you need when you need it. So don't panic. It's going to be fine. God is in control. He is going to work it out for his good. So go today in the strength and confidence of the Lord, for he will never fail. And it's so much better higher up there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence today. Oh, Lord, this has been a time of worship, God, that we just thank you for, that we had the opportunity to do this and gather together. And Lord, as your word goes forth, God, help us to, as we understand the spiritual truths of your word and what you teach us in our hearts, help us to apply it to our lives. Show us how we can apply it and put it to use so that not only are we able to grow closer to you, but people around us will be blessed through us by the power of your word and your presence. Thank you, God, for your love and your forgiveness. And God, we want to even take this moment right now to just repent. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord, as we seek to pursue you, Jesus, today with a renewed heart, with a renewed commitment. I thank you, God, for the friends and family you put into our lives. Thank you for church family, Lord, where we find encouragement and love. People that we can lean into, God, when we are struggling. And help us, Lord, help us to do better at listening and to come in alongside each other. Lord, give us the words of wisdom to say when we are in a situation, Lord, where someone needs encouragement. And God, you put them in front of us. And help us just to depend on you to just speak those words of life into their situation. But again, we give you praise today. We give you praise for being here with us, for this time to worship and to consider again the wonderful grace of God that sustains us and your power to save us, Lord, from our hurts, our habits, and the things that we're struggling with. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.